Let us unite in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this day, another day to discover what it is to be your child. We ask you now to prepare our hearts and minds for your word that comes to us. Enlighten us with your word of love and grace. Surprise us by your presence. And form us into the people that you would have us be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our sermon is based on the reading from St. Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here's the bridegroom. Come and meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Truth be told, this is not my favorite parable. How about you? I mean, this parable is troubling on many levels. Honestly, this parable can make us very uncomfortable. We're going to have 2 more parables from the 25th chapter of Matthew coming up, too, also making us uncomfortable. As we question, really, where is God? The theme of this is really, where is God? What's God up to in the world? Are we ready to see God or not? What's happening? As I was getting ready to preach, I had to decide on a sermon title. So by midweek, I hadn't decided what I was going to do. So I thought the best thing I could do is put down "ready or not." And that works on a lot of levels, too. In the world in which we live, who can be ready for what's been thrown at us week after week and month after month? That awful news out of Texas last week, another horrific shooting, another shooting in the house of worship. Who was ready for that? So what about this parable, readiness? I never really understood it as a kid in Sunday school. I always had a lot of questions. I remember the teachers trying to teach us, well, the wise bridesmaids were the ones who came prepared and they had all this extra oil, and the foolish ones didn't, so be wise. Well, I wondered to myself, is that really true? The wise men seemed like nothing more than neurotic worrywarts. They're the kind of person that's going away overnight. Instead of just taking an overnight bag, they bring 3 suitcases because you never know what you're going to need. All 10 of those bridesmaids took exactly what they needed. 5 of them took their lamps, filled with oil. It doesn't say that they didn't have oil in the lamps. And they were prudent, probably because they didn't want to waste the oil. And then these other young ladies took these flasks of oil. And it's dangerous stuff, all this oil, you know. And then when their friends run out, they didn't even share, you know. Did you notice that? What a crazy story. Who really were the wise ones? And who were the foolish ones? Doesn't the parable have it backward? I pointed this out to my Sunday school teachers. Wouldn't you love to have me in Sunday school? He said, God bless him. My mom was told, and she told me, you know, your Sunday school teacher said, please tell David to be quiet and not ask so many questions because he never gives the other kids any chance at talking. But the first thing I said to those teachers was, why didn't those bridesmaids share their oil? Aren't we supposed to share? Is that what your grown-ups teach us? You know, they're called the wise grape. They don't seem very Christian to me. Does this mean that I don't have to share my toys with my little sister, Karen? Says so in the Bible, let her be responsible. She can bring her own toys, and she doesn't have them, go and buy them at the toy store. And then scandal of scandals, when you think about it, whose fault was it that all these girls had to wait and wait? They weren't late. It was the bridegroom's fault. Where are you, Mr. Bridegroom? My dad just hated being late. He was always early to everything, as punctual as can be. And my mother always struggled with being on time. You see a little conflict brewing there? And it never got easier as they got older. So I guess I grew up thinking that there had to be somebody at fault here. And when you think about it, it's not the young girls. They all showed up with lamps and oil, different amounts of oil. Everything should be going fine if the bridegroom would have shown up on time, but the bridegroom was late. It's his fault, isn't it? And isn't the bridegroom supposed to be Jesus? Why does Jesus delay? In Matthew's community, they were facing the situation where they had been promised that they wouldn't die before Jesus returned. Yet their friends and family members were dying, and they were wondering, what do we make of this? Where are you, Jesus? Where are you, God? And then that business of the door being shut so tight. At the beginning of this parable, everyone is invited, but now the door is shut. And these girls that were told to go and buy something in the middle of the night, they're sent away to the 7-Eleven, but there is no 7-Eleven. They don't have a chance. It doesn't seem fair. And the bridegroom says, I didn't know you. This is a very troubling parable. It's troubling, at least for me. And at the heart is the apparent absence of God. At least God is not present in the way that's obvious. How long, Lord, that's what the psalmist wrote, will you hide your face from us? That was on the lips of Matthew's congregation. Have you ever felt like that yourself? Wondering what God is up to in this mess of your life right now. What are you waiting for, God? What are we waiting for? So much of life is spent waiting and waiting, waiting for news from the doctor, waiting for test results, waiting for news from a school that you want to get into, waiting for that job that you really want, waiting and waiting for your kids to be happy or for your elderly parents to be content, or waiting for someone to love you the way you should be loved, or waiting for peace in this world is just torn apart with senseless violence. Perhaps our waiting is that we're waiting for God to show up in our waiting. How long, Lord? How long comes the cry? And then Matthew says, the cry comes at midnight. Look, he's coming, the bridegroom, ready or not. He comes. This parable lifts up some deep truths. The first one is, sometimes God seems absent. And we need to be honest about that. We can't fix that. So we do what we can in those periods, and sometimes we cry out, and sometimes we have lack of faith, and sometimes we doubt, and sometimes we just need a friend to be with us along the journey. What are you waiting for, God? We're waiting for you to show up in our waiting. Another truth is that life regularly does not go as planned. Does that make sense? The unexpected happens. Life takes an unexpected turn, completely different direction sometimes than where we've planned it would go or where we're headed. You all have your own stories. I have mine. Times when you thought that everything was going along just fine, and then bam, it was like you've been hit by a bus. Broken relationships, or an illness for you or a loved one, or the death of a loved one, or the loss of a job, or you fill in the blank. Life does not always go as planned. And we're not always ready. That's the truth in us. So we wait and we wonder and we hold on to one another as we walk through the darkness, hoping against hope that something good is coming to meet us. St. Paul writes that the foolishness of God is wiser than the weakness. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Foolishness that led Nelson Mandela to keep his lamps trimmed and burning brightly for 27 years in a South African prison cell until the time is right for freedom and the end of apartheid. God's wisdom, which causes us this Veterans Day to thank all those who serve and continue to serve in harm's way for the sake of others, serving our country. Yet this Veterans Day, we don't simply stop there. We also must ask ourselves tough questions. What honor are we giving our vets when there's such a high percentage of veterans who are homeless? And what about those returning home injured, coming back from wars they did not start, by politicians, yet when the call came, they responded, they went into harm's way? How do we treat our veterans? What care do we provide for those who are wounded in body, mind, and spirit? It's an important moral question for us to ask, because I've seen firsthand how physical and mental torment can affect veterans and their families. Do you want to see that? Are we ready to deal with that? How will we care for our vets and their families? Will we pay attention? Are we ready? And moreover, the deeper question, how will we as a nation, a democracy, work together to prevent other wars so that military action is always the very last resort? God's wisdom empowers us to do something as we wait, and we do what we can, and we hold on to one another for dear life. And I've seen many great things happen through the ministry of San Marcos Lutheran Church. Today's commitment Sunday, we recommit ourselves to this ministry, God's ministry here, through our congregation, God's wisdom. Children in Alvin Dunn Elementary School and their families supported by our ministries. And even younger ones, supported through our preschool, introduced to God's love by teachers. The homebound are sick and visited. Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us here, even in the complex nature of our life. God is present. And our ultimate hope is that we know who we're waiting for. Remember, we know who we're waiting for. We're waiting for Jesus, who's already shown up. So brothers and sisters, we do what we can, and we hold on to one another for dear life, and we help one another walk through the darkness into the light. You see, ready or not, Jesus just keeps showing up. Even as you and I wait, even if your waiting days are filled with fear, God will come to you with peace. And if your waiting is filled with longing, may God arrive with deep and abiding satisfaction. And if your waiting is brimming with anticipation, may God greet you with joy that will come to be your abiding reality. Because God is already on his way and is already here. He's ready to get us ready for a party. It's a great banquet of shalom, of peace, celebration. My friends, we are ready only because God is always ready to love us to death. God's always ready to do that. So ready or not, here God comes. Amen.